Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson. Looking at life through the eyes of a biblical worldview, he grapples with the issues of education, culture, and family. He doesn't have all the answers, but one thing is for sure. He is committed to preserving our faith and freedom for the next generation. And now, here's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Well, today's program is going to focus on the young man and his preparation to be that primary breadwinner. You remember Farmer Boy back in the Little House on the Prairie days. This was Almanza Wilder. He eventually married Laura out on the plains of South Dakota. But before he married Laura at 22 years of age, he had two things. And I want you to remember this for this program today because we're going to talk about this. He had two things before he married Laura. He had a cabin and a farm. Now, let's not make this thing real complicated, my friends. Typically, a young man needs two things before he gets married. He needs a home and fields to plow. And that's the way it's been for 6,000 years until the last 30 years. Now, we have the utterly ridiculous scenario where a 13-year-old kid who knows how to play video games real good goes out and dates a little girl and gets her pregnant. That's the scenario today, and the reason for that is because we got a bunch of fathers out there with no vision whatsoever raising 13-year-old boys. Now, I don't know what fathers without any vision are doing raising 13-year-old boys, but we got to get some vision here, guys. Let's tell our boys they need two things before they even start thinking about girls. This is what I've told my 15-year-old son. Before he even thinks about girls and getting married, he's got to do two things. He's got to get a home for his family, and he needs fields to plow. He's got to have a steady income. And I've been telling him that since he was 10 years old. You know, my son has been saving to pay off his own home debt-free since he was 10 years old. 1 Timothy chapter 5 is a very, very clear verse, and we got to pound this thing into the minds of our sons. They've got to know this verse inside and out. He that doesn't take care of his own family financially is worse than an infidel, says 1 Timothy chapter 5. That's the word of God. If a man does not take care of his own family, he is worse than an infidel. He's worse than an unbeliever. He's the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst. The most basic lesson of life for our sons is they must be prepared to take care of their own families. Well, Steve Maxwell has written a book. He's a friend of this program. We've invited him out to our conferences. He's a good man. He's written a lot of good things, but one of the best resources Steve has put together is his recent resource, Preparing Sons to Provide for a Single Income Family. His two sons have worked hard, and by the time they're 22 or 23 years of age, they paid off their own house. They prepared themselves for marriage by going into marriage debt-free and with fields to plow. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, a vision for your sons. Lord knows we need vision. I want you to stay tuned for this. You've got to hear this one. Steve Maxwell is next on Generations.
Deeply embedded on the front lines of the War of the Worldviews, here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Back on Generations, my friends. Welcome. It's good to have you tune in with us today. Today we want to lay out a vision for sons. And with me is Steve Maxwell. Steve and Terry have raised 8 children. They've been homeschooling for a number of years now. Steve has written the book, Preparing Sons to Provide for a Single Income Household. Steve, welcome back to Generations.
Well, I sure appreciate a chance to visit with you again, Kevin.
Yeah, and Steve, you know, we want to get into this idea of raising our sons to be prepared to lead their own homes and to provide for their own homes. But I think what we're talking about is a specific worldview here. The world has its own worldview. By the way, that is being foisted upon everybody in Colorado. In fact, the Colorado legislature, we just found out, is pushing for more mandatory kindergarten, more state-funded preschool and daycare. They want to get more and more double-income households going in Colorado. That is the official state policy as we read it. So what you've got is people out there saying, you've got to get the double income household going. You've got to get those children away from those moms and dads as early as possible. Get them out of the womb. Get them processed into daycare as soon as possible. Now, that's the worldview that most people are receiving today, Steve. I assume that's not your worldview. Talk to us about your basic worldview construct.
Kevin, I think probably the easiest way to summarize that would be a couple of verses. First Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And all these things refers to the needs of life and the provision of life. And then Galatians 5:13 goes on, and for brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. And how we have this freedom in Christ, but the question is, how will we use it? And how will we spend this life that we have? Will we spend it in acquiring all that we can acquire in life? Or will we spend it in serving others, as the Lord Jesus has called us to?
What is your vision, Steve, for your own household? I assume your wife is with you in the home. She's been homeschooling the children. How long have you been homeschooling?
Oh, she's always the best one. She can tell you to the day, if not almost the month. But we're over 20 years, and I think getting real close to 25 years, actually.
Yeah. How important do you think a single income household is then to what you're doing in terms of homeschooling? If you're going to homeschool, do you have to be a single-income household?
Well, we talk to people all the time, and some have all kinds of different issues, and we know, and it's a heartbreak for those that are struggling in different areas. But the fact that, yes, believing it is possible and needful for dad to be the provider, for mom to be in the home, nurturing the children, and then really basically pouring out her life into the lives of those children day in and day out.
You think it takes some degree of sacrifice if you're going to keep your children at home? You think you have to give up a little bit on some of the 4,000 square feet in the home and the third boat and those sorts of things? Is it a materialistic sacrifice at all to launch into the homeschool sort of lifestyle?
I think one needs to be prepared for that. That one needs to own that as Lord Jesus. These children you have given me are the most precious things that I have in life, and therefore, if this is the most precious, then therefore I have to structure my life accordingly and be willing to I don't even think the word suffer. We don't know suffering so much in the country, but to do with less.
Yeah. Kind of an issue of priorities, isn't it, Steve? I mean, as you look out over life, what are you trying to do in your life? Are you trying to establish an income of $200,000 a year, or are you trying to seek the kingdom of God and the interest that God has and raise godly children for the next generation? Every father sort of has to ask those questions.
Oh, amen. And that is what is going. That is what's going to be impressed on the lives of the children in the home. What is the essence of the father? What is he, not just what he says and does he go to church on Sunday, but the heart of the dad day in and day out that is in the home, that is the priorities that are reflected in his life. Those are what are being pressed and formed into the lives of those children, I believe.
Okay, let's talk about boys. I've got one, you've got a couple yourself. We want to raise our sons with a particular viewpoint, and of course the Word also says, I talked about this verse in the first section of the program, he that doesn't provide for his own family is worse than an infidel, so obviously the Lord wants our children, especially our sons, because that's in the male gender there in Timothy, he wants our sons to be prepared to provide for the needs of the household. How do we do that, Steve?
Well, I think, frankly, so much of it even comes to where is our joy? You know, where does it come from? And is our joy in truly the Lord Jesus Christ and serving him? Or, you see, if our joy comes from entertainment, our joy is always going to be limited by income. But if our joy comes from serving others, we've given our family the potential for a lifetime of joy. That allows them, when they're investing in others in just, say, their labor and in their joy, it isn't a function of spending a lot of money on entertainment, and so it's easy. They're able to save their money, put it aside, And then that's how, for example, both Nathan and Christopher were able to save enough to buy their own homes debt-free. It's by the time when they get married. And so that takes a tremendous amount of pressure off of a family for size of their income. Mm-hmm. If they can start out in life with a house already paid for debt-free.
Steve, you know, you went right to this idea that they're serving others. I think that's very, very important. They're not just making money. I mean, yeah, that's a tremendous freedom for the family. We've enjoyed that in our family. But it's about why you're doing it. Why are you making money? And what they're learning is they're serving folks. Okay, we're preparing a young man to eventually get his own cabin and have his own fields to plow and prepare his home for his young Laura, even as Almanzo did with, you know, farmer boy 120 years ago. That's effectively what we're doing here. One day that young man is going to be serving his wife.
Amen.
And his
Amen.
Children, and that's why he's working. Of course, as you mentioned at the beginning, he's serving the living God, and praise God for that, too. Are you getting your little boys into work as early as 7, 8, 9 years of age? When do you get started with these boys?
As early as, I mean, I say even as early as 3, but the whole issue, the battle lies between teaching our children that working is good and it's pleasurable, it's God ordained, that's what God put us in Genesis here. He put man in the Garden of Eden to work and to serve. And so we learn that working is fun, and when our children are young and they're with us as parents as we work, they become our little shadows, and everything that's not dangerous, we have them working like that and serving, because all of life so much seems to be this war of appetites, either good appetites or bad appetites. And I like the phrase, either broccoli or Twinkies. What will we set in the appetites of our children? And so if we teach them that, so they're working with us at 3, and even avoiding this whole area of being entertained, that's why I encourage, frankly, no TV. Because if we teach them that time is nothing more than something that is to be spent in the most pleasurable, fastest way, then they're not going to want to work. Whereas if we teach them that our life is here to be spent in serving God and that the most blessed way, and they experience with us, then they see what the world has and all of its glory, because it has some mighty fun and exciting things to offer, that they see that is just not the way to joy and peace in this life. And so anyway, at 3, we teach them to be just our shadows, and frankly, again, no TV, even if it's, quote, something that people would consider not harmful, but it's because it's ingraining habits. And then, and they're 7 to 12, they should be in learning to read Scripture and having their quiet time and learning to use their time constructively. We could spend so long on these things.
Steve, let's take a 15-year-old boy, and I'm a selfish guy here. I've got my own 15-year-old boy, and I'm really working hard right now to impress on him the importance of working all day. And from the time he gets out of bed in the morning to the time he goes down, obviously a time for quiet time for family worship. We have time for meals, that sort of thing. But most of the time, I really would like my son Daniel at 15 years of age to be working, either hitting the books and doing some homeschooling. He's doing some physics right now, and he's doing his Westminster Confession of Faith and, you know, doing his reading and writing and preparing a Bible study for the family to share once a week in family worship with us. He's got these study things where he hits some books, but I want him working too. So basically, throughout a day, I'd like him to be working or putting effort into things for maybe 12 to 13 hours on a given day, with maybe an hour of recreation and some relaxation, but not a lot of recreation relaxation. What do you think? That's where I am right now. And is that appropriate, do you think, for a 15-year-old boy?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, Joseph started programming when he was 10, and at 15, he was basically a professional programmer. And so as dads, we look at our children, and as we look at them, we're seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit and saying, Lord, what are you calling them to? And frankly, it may not even be areas that they're necessarily gifted in, But Lord, how do you want to use this child? And so then we will seek things, whether it be computers, whether things that also kind of spark them and draw them. But frankly, it may not even be that. It may be just that we're impressed that God wants them to learn these. It becomes far easier if it's something that grabs a hold of them. And then you don't have to say, you need to be now working on this. And whether it's studying concrete forming and building and framing. Because, see, then I think the easiest is giving them projects. So as you look at your son and you say, all right, this is something you want him to do, assign him a project. It might be you might want him to build a deck. And so he's got to do the research on code and proper structural loading and all those types of things. And then he's going to build that deck. He's going to be the foreman of it. You're going to work with him. But it's his deck and his project. And from then on, he's going to look at that and say, I did that. But you behind the scenes know he has learned this host of skills in the process.
You know, there are folks listening right now that have been working with their sons. They've got 13, 14, 15-year-old sons. They've had them in, quote-unquote, homeschooling or even private schooling or maybe public schooling. They have them in academics, but they don't really understand that there's got to be some kind of a transition between the books and real life, Steve.
Amen.
And even within homeschooling, we got to transition them between mom's apron strings and the work projects with other men out there in the field. How did you make those transitions?
And in fact, I mean, you called it right, Kevin. Terry basically schools them up until, but then I work on the vocational side and begin not just at 18. I'll begin working with them early on. And so,
how early, Steve?
Well, again, with Joseph, it was 10. John, and really the older boys, Nathan and Christopher, it was about 12 when they started other computer learning. John is more hands-on. He's the one that's doing and learning more building trades, building aspects and code and all of those types of things. So in these early formative years, or these called the teenage, these times are so important to give them vision and purpose and be using them. And when they're learning and working and applying themselves, they're not drawn towards so many of the other things that are going to shipwreck their lives, because they're working, and especially if they're working hard with dad. You're building relationships and strengthening that. All the while, they're learning and being prepared for a vocation and a career.
Steve, where do you want them to be at, say, 22 years of age? Now, we've talked about, you know, the teenage years. Now, as you are working these boys through their teenage years, what's your vision, Steve? Where do you want them to be? Obviously, everybody's going to be different. They've got their own individual gifts, talents, and abilities that God has provided them. But what's your general vision for your boys?
That they would be, first and foremost, delighting in the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, that he is the one they're looking to for direction, how he wants to apply their lives and use them, and that they, by that time, have a host of skills, that they are ambassadors for Christ. They know how to learn, how to read, speak, dress, and act appropriately for Christ, and they are vocationally prepared with a broad reach of skills that in not just one area, that if one area should collapse, vocationally, they are able to do other things. And so whether it be like Christopher, he could do accounting, he could do photography, website design. He's got a number of skills, and the same is true for the other guys as well.
Do you prefer to prepare your sons for the entrepreneurial track where they have their own business, Steve, or the corporate track? Do you think it matters which direction they go? Obviously, there are sort of these two tracks where it's either their own business or they're working for a corporation somewhere. Do you have a preference there?
You are really doing, I mean, your questions, I mean, very insightful, Kevin, because the truth is, it is entrepreneurial, because my personal belief is, the more dedicated to the Lord Jesus a person is, the harder they are to employ in a secular world. Because you have two entirely different worldviews that are going to be constantly at odds. The one being entirely, we've got to make money. And on the other hand, you've got the Christian that's operating by the Lord Jesus directing him in life and practice. And so as he would excel in a company and have more authority, he's going to want to use his authority as the Lord would direct, which could be counterproductive or opposed to the direction of that company. And that makes it more difficult unless he's owning his own company.
Boy, Steve, I wish we had more time. We're just plumb out of time. I do want to recommend your book, though, Preparing Sons to Provide for a Single-Income Family, folks. You need to make sure you get a hold of that book by Steve Maxwell. Their website is Titus2.com. Once again, folks, that's Titus2.com on the web. Get in touch with Steve and Terry Maxwell. They've got a lot of great resources there at Titus2.com. Steve, thanks so much for joining us today on Generations.
Thank you, Kevin, so much. It was a pleasure, brother. It really was a pleasure to be.
Again, folks, you can pick up the book, Preparing Sons to Provide for a Single-Income Family, at our website. Just go to kevinswanson.com and click on Store, and you get your copy of Preparing Sons to Provide for a Single-Income Family. I think a critical book for raising sons in the 21st century. Well, folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And, of course, you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson. And I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
You have been listening to Generations with Kevin Swanson, where we take a look at life through a biblical worldview and a generational focus. If you've been challenged by this program, you need to get a copy of Kevin Swanson's new book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. Get an upgrade at kevinswanson.com. This book addresses many of the issues close to the heart of this program, the power of relationships, the preeminence of character and faith, and the importance of getting the right worldview in education. Get your copy of Upgrade today on the web at www.kevinswanson.com or call 877-842-CHECK. That's 877-842-CHECK.